L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations. The point of view of three capitals in the Ukraine conflict, really the larger conflict, is between NATO and the Russian Federation and its allies. In the ally list, we can now say that the People's Republic of China has not been shy about supporting in some fashion Ukraine's advance. There is Iran in the Iran deal. There is talk that North Korea is selling either an arsenal or workers to Russia, but it's not confirmed. So the Russians have diplomacy to put together on their side an axis to face off with NATO. However, we're going to concentrate on Kyiv. And Kyiv, as the professor has just explicated, is launching opportunistic advances in the north and south of the Russian front lines. However, at the same time, Zaporizhia, the largest nuclear power plant in Europe, is not solved. The reporting is incomplete, but it suggests that the power for the remaining reactor is coming from the remaining reactor. That's called island mode. It is nothing but risky to have a reactor keep its coolant going by providing the electricity for the coolant to keep going. The IAEA, led by Mr. Grossi, has asked for a no-fighting zone around Zaporizhia. That utopian request has not met with success from either the Russian or the Ukrainian side. We're told that shelling continues in the area. We're told that the IAEA has not had contact with the Ukrainian engineers remaining as prisoners in the plant, nor are we understanding that the Russian engineers there are allowing anybody with access to the emergency monitoring part of the plant. I don't have the technology other than to say this is extremely dangerous. No one has wargamed before what it means to have a nuclear power plant in a conflict zone that cannot in some fashion be protected. Professor Keefe's point of view: Zaporizhia is only part of the story. However, this is an opportunity for Kyiv to step up and give us a solution for Zaporizhia that would be applauded. I can remind all of us that Romania, Moldova, the Black Sea Basin, all of Europe's paying attention because they all remember what a radioactive cloud means.
Well, the Zaporizhia situation is, with the fact that it's a nuclear reactor, is, as far as I know, unprecedented in warfare. And it's not just one, it's six nuclear reactors. Fortunately, they're not the same design that was used at Chernobyl. But as you have just pointed out, you have to keep a reactor cool. It requires electricity to pump the coolant. If the coolant stops being pumped, then the reactions go out of control, and you get an absolutely disastrous scenario. Operationally, the first thing that comes to my mind is the extraordinary recapture of Fort Douaumont at the Battle of Verdun by a very great French general who, in a matter of after training his troops exactly how to attack, and attacked this, it's one of these dome forts of the sort that we remember from the beginning of the last century, and it was secured in a matter of minutes. This is the sort of thing the Israelis do, a kind of a lightning strike in which commandos who were trained to the very best do something. The thought that I have is that we're going to have to, that someone is going to have to somehow disable everybody's at the plant, perhaps using some sort of a gas agent which can penetrate into all of the places and then secure it. But as you have pointed out, it seems unlikely that a group will be put together that's capable of doing that. So this is just, it may well be that this war will be remembered above all for the Zaporizhia disaster. But I have no solution for it, and neither does anyone else that I know, except that the Russians should, they have excellent nuclear physicists. Someone should go in and tell Putin, this is not going to help you in any way to deal with this empire-wide crisis that you have. Ukraine has done extremely well in the last few days. They have astonished people by what you described as their opportunistic attack. I would add that although it's opportunistic, it also involved a large element of deception. That is, they deceived the Russians into thinking that Kherson, which is a vital location because it controls water to all of Crimea, was the primary objective, and led the Russians then to move their main forces south, thus denuding the forces that control the area where the main Russian railroads, two distinct railroad lines, cross into Crimea, and those are the lines that bring all of the supplies. I think that the most important other factor that we should mention is this, the Ukraine has had a good relation with China. China has been giving them weapons and so forth, and at the beginning of the conflict, China actually stood on the side of the West to the extent that China's capable of doing that because she feared the economic sanctions, the incredibly destructive effects that sanctions, a la Russian sanctions, would have on China's economy, which is currently almost in free fall. But as they have seen the situation develop, the Chinese have decided that the thing to do, or I shouldn't say the Chinese, I should say that Mr. Xi, over the opposition, so it seems, from many, many communists and major figures in China, has decided that the invitation that Mr. Putin is making to form an alliance should be accepted. And if anybody doubts that the Chinese are not serious about this, although it is, frankly, madness, and of course Russia is not the Soviet Union anymore. Putin is very anti-communist. Russian nationalism means keep the Chinese out of Russian territory. Chinese nationalism means drive the Russians out of Vladivostok. They're not natural partners. But in the primary schools in China, English, which was the first language that was taught up to junior high school, it was required, has now been abolished. And there's a whole new series of Russian language textbooks, of which I have seen images on the internet. And apparently the word for Mr. Xi is that Russia is going to go back to where she was in the 1950s, educating her children in that most useful of all international languages, namely Russian. So this is very, very troubling. And we have to remember that there are some other countries that are sort of trying to figure out where they fit in this picture. By far the most dangerous is Iran, and of course, during World War I, Russia occupied much of Iran. The late Shah of Iran was the son of the commander of the Russian legion in Tehran. But Russian-Iranian relations are opportunistic. If you'll help us with our nuclear program, we'll be friends with you. But they're not really made for each other. As you mentioned, Tajikistan in particular is wobbling as to which way it's going to go. It's under great pressure from Russia, from China. And also, I should note that Kazakhstan now has a government that claims to be aiming for democracy. And Mr. Tokayev, the president of Kazakhstan, has actually stood essentially face to face with Mr. Putin and told him, what you're doing is crazy, and we Kazakhs are not going to go along with it. And if we think that controlling controlling Ukraine is the problem, an invasion of Kazakhstan on top of that would be a tremendous problem. So I think the other, and there's one other problem that Ukraine faces, which is that right now they are in a position, given the right supplies, I think, to finish the job. As Churchill said, give us the tools and we will finish the job. I believe that in the United States government, there is still a residual feeling that Ukraine is a distraction and that Russia is the main event. Thus, our national security advisor said that this war can only end with negotiations. This is quite wrong. This war will only end when one side or the other wins. Right now, Kiev is within perhaps a few months or even a year, some of the estimates, but they are in a position, given wholehearted, unstinting support, to drive the Russians out of Ukraine without threatening Russia proper.
All right, a year, Professor. Is that what you think? A year, in other words.
Well,
I don't know.
I have seen estimates. Vary from a few months to a much longer time. It really depends on what Russia does, and this is what's perilous. If Russia decides to join up with a sort of cockamamie alliance with China, which already failed once in the 50s and the 60s, to which is to be added Iran, I don't know, Afghanistan, some of the stands and so forth, then we are going to have the possibility of fighting across the length of Eurasia. We're going to have Russia's resources stretched to the breaking point, but she's not going to abandon Vladivostok on her Pacific coast without exacting some cost, and a possible gradual spread of chaos across this whole continent, which, with a few exceptions, is ruled by authoritarian states, all of which have the same defects, namely that all the money goes to the ruling class and the ordinary people get nothing and they're mad as can be. So it's a very volatile situation, and I think it's important that we should take the opportunity to try to terminate it now with a decisive punch by the Ukrainians in Ukraine.
Let's turn to us, which means NATO. NATO's point of view, the headquarters at Brussels. Professor H.J. Mackinder, international relations, commenting on Ukraine crisis, Russian Empire crisis. I'm the Friends of History Debating Society, John Batchelor.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.